Well, it is time for Talk Back. Talk Back is your opportunity to communicate with us during the school year, and which is beginning very soon. We have a lot of students reporting, but this time of year we turn to you. And if you have a report you'd like to share with us, we'd love to hear from you. Funding for student phenology is provided in part by the Minnesota Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund. Phenology talkbacks are produced by Charlie Mitchell and Heidi Holton. Heidi was busy this morning with some reports that I brought in. But our first report comes from a cohort of future teachers from the Minnesota North Itasca who visited Long Lake Conservation Center near Palisade.
Hi, this is Lily, and I'm a future teacher from Minnesota North Itasca campus for August 21st through the 22nd at Long Lake Conservation Center. The high temperature was 77 degrees Fahrenheit and the low was 55. There are signs of fall everywhere. Two signs of note are the wild sarsaparillas in the forest have changed colors, and Long Lake's loons have left. We suspect they've moved to a larger lake where they'll raft up and fly south in a month or so. They didn't have any loonlets, so they don't have a reason to stick around. Other observations from our trip were asters are in full bloom, beavers are along the shore, pitcher plants are in bloom, mushrooms are growing, corn-tipped coral and chicken of the woods, swans are on the lake, small wood frogs, spring pipils, and toads are there as well. It was a great week in nature, and we want to remind everyone to unplug, get outside, and live connected.
Yeah, thank you, Lily. That was wonderful. Good to hear that you are on your way to becoming a teacher, and who knows, maybe you'll have some phenology classroom experience when you get there. That would be wonderful. We also had, we have some voices from some young children who accompanied me on nature hikes at Sugar Lake Lodge this past week.
One.
My name is Ben. I go to Invergrove Heights and I caught a lot of crayfish.
My name is Chris and I live in Invergrove Heights. I caught a snake and a crayfish and a minnow and a tadpole and a tree frog. And I also caught a leopard frog.
My name is Eric. I'm 7 years old. I go to Park Spanish Immersion. I went on a nature hike and I saw a crawdad, a snake, a frog, a green heron.
What was your favorite?
Crawdad. And the snake.
Yeah, a crawdad and a snake and a green heron, and yeah, it was a lot of fun. I've shown the children how they can put their fingers in the pinchers of the crawdads, and that in spite of the power of the crawdad, they really come up a little short of making it really painful. So we had a lot of fun with that. The green herons were sort of an extra special gift, and there were two or three of them flying around, and we got a good look at them, including their bright orange feet, which made everybody kind of excited. So that was a lot of fun. It was just a really, really nice time out there. So we always have a good time. And you arm a kid with a net and turn them loose, and by golly, you'll just be astonished at what they come up with. Our phenology coordinator, Charlie, sent along a report from Canada.
Hi, John. Last week, I returned from a glorious 10 days in Ontario. I was visiting a family cabin on the Winnipeg River about 40 minutes north of Kenora. I'm very happy to report on a once-in-a-lifetime experience with a family of loons. It all started when we were distracted taking a picture of a white pine tree that my dad and I planted about 2 decades ago. My dog saw that we were otherwise occupied and ran off to cause some trouble. He attempted to swim about a 20-foot channel between the peninsula we are on and this tiny little rock island, where a local pair of loons was attempting, for the third time this summer, to hatch their eggs. These loons build their nests each year quite close to the cabin where my parents spend most of the summer, so that makes for some very exciting loon watching for them. They report back to me, and we're all quite emotionally invested. We enjoy all the small little wildlife dramas that play out day by day. So this year, Their first nest was destroyed by a hungry eagle, so my parents built them this little loon shelter that they could hide underneath. However, the second nest that these loons built was inundated when one of the upstream dams let out a lot of water into the Winnipeg system, which raised the water level and drowned the loon's two eggs. So we were all quite surprised when the parents tried a third time. This would certainly be their last chance this summer. So you can imagine our frustration and fear when my dog went swimming out there to mess with these precious loons and their precious eggs. Luckily, Drogo, our dog, was a very good boy and returned to us when he was called. He didn't make any contact with the loons, but he did scare them. Both parents left the nest site, which is a bad sign since we know that loons are known to abandon their nests if they're disturbed too aggressively or too often. But when we got a closer look, we saw that they had a baby chick swimming alongside the parents. So they had at least one baby successfully. Since I'm a weird little forest creature that has goblin-like tendencies, I really wanted to see the chick's egg. So once they had safely left the area and my dog was safely secured in the house, I went on a little swim over to the nest to see if I could find the egg. And to my unending delight, I found not just the empty egg, but another egg with a little pipping chick clearly visible inside. There was only a small hole open in the egg, but I could see the little chick's beak as it chirped and was pecking at the opening. It was utterly adorable, once-in-a-lifetime wildlife experience. Despite my joy at finding this little shelled gift from the nature gods, we were very concerned that the little guy was left alone without its parents for protection. We hoped that the loon mom and dad would come back pretty quickly, but in the meantime, my wife guarded the egg closely to make sure no scavenging creatures were prowling around. I had to drop my dad off in town, otherwise you can better believe that I would have been right there with a pair of binoculars and a righteous fire in my soul. However, no need for any of that. To our immense relief, after about an hour, one of the parents returned to guard the nest and maybe incubate the egg. We weren't quite sure whether it needed some extra warmth while it was pipping and emerging. About 4 hours later, the other parent and the first chick also returned unharmed. And so with that little reassurance that the family was together and back where they belonged, we spent a really delightful, calm evening on the porch watching one of the adults catching fish and bringing them back to the little shelter to their growing family. And the next morning we woke up and there were two adult loons out swimming in the bay. We didn't see any chicks initially. We grabbed the binoculars, and on the back of one of the parents were two tiny little charcoal-colored chicks riding around. So, we're very proud of the loon parents' perseverance. After three tries, they managed to get some chicks. We really hope that those chicks grow up and learn to fly very, very quickly, since these valuable summer days are vanishing, and the ice in Ontario arrives pretty early. But these young loons have already overcome some pretty steep odds. I'm not going to bet against the adorable little guys. So, that's the news from Canada.
Well, thank you for that note, Charlie. What a unique and probably once-in-a-lifetime experience to actually watch a loon pip its way out of an egg. That is absolutely incredible. I've never seen such a thing, but I certainly would have been just as agog if it had happened to me. I would have wanted to see it as well. And I share your concern. It's late in the summer for a bird the size of a loon. They have to get quite large. Not only that, but loons have trouble flying. Loons are heavy. Their bones are dense. They're made to swim and to submerge, and all of that is not aided when you're trying to fly. It's not a help when you're trying to fly if you have all those obstacles in your way. But somehow these loons actually get out and will do it. And hopefully the river will stay open a little bit later than some of the lakes, and they will get a chance to make that first migratory flight.